Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we are already on our final segment. It's always great to continue with an in-studio guest, Debbie Rich from the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Zara. Thanks for having me.
Well, I don't think I have to say much about this segment because Debbie will know how to take complete command control. She's had quite a lot of experience here in the radio world. Let me do give a brief introduction. She's Chief Executive Officer of the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona, which was established here in our state in 1935. That was 23 years after the charter Girl Scouts of USA was established in 1920. So happy 100th anniversary. They now serve more than 14,000 girls ages 5 to 17 with the support of nearly 2,500 adult volunteers. The Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona's mission truly is to develop girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. The jurisdiction for Debbie's organization includes Pima, Cochise, Greenlee, Yuma, Santa Cruz County, as well as southern parts of Graham, Maricopa, and Pinal counties. Debbie has had an extensive career in the nonprofit world, from Oasis Intergenerational Learning, Tunadito Children and Family Service, and the Carondelet Health Network. She continues her civic commitment as one of the founders of the Reading Seed Children's Literacy, as well as helped found the first diaper bank in the United States based here in Tucson. After serving 3 years as Chief Operating Officer of the Girl Scouts, Debbie became the CEO and has led the development of operational strategy as well as create a social service delivery model that really engages college women to deliver programs to underserved girls. She's redesigned the council's fund development model, secured capital gifts for improvement of properties, and increased the membership across Southern Arizona in general. So, full, wide open throttle, on and forward you go.
Thank you.
That's great. Well, of course, most people know the other C besides the character commitment sign, and that's the cookies.
Absolutely.
But, of course, which is a great fundraiser as well as learning model for the girls.
It is. I think that we, especially in your world, financial literacy is so critical for all of us. And the earlier that we can get kids started in understanding what money is and what the value is and how to set budgets and make goals and have plans, you know, the better off they're going to be in life. And truly, the cookie program does that.
Yeah, that's right. And is also, though, that the troops get to retain a significant amount of profit to foster their own programs.
Right. And what I like to share about what the cookie program is, cookies cost $4 a box. $1 goes to the baker, cost of goods. And then the other $3, girls, their troops keep about $1 of that with their troop funds and incentives, and then the rest of the money goes to the operation of the council. But with our social service delivery model,
it goes right back.
It does. It goes. The girls are raising money so more girls can have the Girl Scout experience.
That's great. Well, I think I recall and I read an interesting article that one of the biggest challenges that face the Girl Scouts is actually the volunteer corps, because it's really changed in demographics over the years, hasn't it, Debbie?
It has, and I think volunteerism across locally and globally is challenged right now, and we have to look outside of the box to see how adults really want to be engaged. And they don't want to be engaged for, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week planning a troop meeting and working with the girls. We have to think of other ways, and that's why we developed our social service delivery model and looking at this wonderful resource of college women we have and knowing they have to make a living. And they have to have work experience. So we need role models. So how do you put it all together? And it's been just an incredible model and a win-win situation. We have girls that start with us as freshmen, leave us as when they graduate, and we're writing their letters of recommendation for graduate school.
And no doubt that somewhere along the way, they will then continue to be part of the Girl Scouts, whether it be a donor, sponsoring their own daughter, or getting involved later on in their life to you know, put those seeds in place.
And I think also we're building a cadre of women who understand the importance of the investment in girls. Whereas you look at philanthropic dollars, and you and I both know that girls and women don't get very much of that dollar. So it's nice to to have those ambassadors out in the world for us as well.
The this model of engaging the college women, is this something now that you've shared as a best practice with your other CEOs around the country?
Well, we all talk about it, and there is resistance because they think that tried and true volunteers are the heart of an organization, but what can you do to complement it? And so I've tried this. It's been successful. We've had great integrity of our, you know, the curriculum that our college women deliver.
Oh, and, yeah, that's great.
And
I just look from the perspective of the young ladies too. It's one thing to have a troop leader that is sort of like mom, or might be mom.
Yeah.
But to have one that's a hip young lady between 18 and 25, it's a whole different older sister type experience. I'm the oldest child of four. I have brothers, and I have to say, not until I got into college and joined a sorority did I really say and understand the power of older women that mentored me, and it was lessons that I've subsequently carried very richly into my professional life and also my civic involvement life.
Right, and you've learned through that how to be a mentor.
Do the same for others,
So I think that that's what's really
which
critical.
Is a pretty weighty responsibility. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it isn't something you get necessarily from just training or have a curriculum. You almost have to have that really wired in your DNA.
Very much so, and that's what makes being a volunteer even more challenging. But I know in your listening audience that there are women who grew up in the movement and are amazing volunteers.
Absolutely.
And sure, we would love to clone that, but our society has just changed.
Yep, and the numbers and the demand and the desire. Particularly, I think you might want to speak to a moment here, Debbie, the reach out that you've done in the Girl Scouts of America here to the disadvantaged young ladies and to truly a very broad and diverse population, which calls for a diverse set of volunteers.
Right, and volunteers that can have the mentoring of staff who understand that demographic. Two programs in particular that we work really hard with is our Girl Scouting Beyond Bars program, and it's a program where we work with girls whose mothers are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So they have Girl Scout meetings with our staff leaders and a few volunteers, and then they go into prison and have Girl Scout meetings with their moms.
Oh my.
And so it gives them a different perspective on, you know, who mom is in prison, because the moms help plan the badges that the girls are going to work on. And it just brings them back that, yes, their mom made bad choices, but they can still be a leader in their daughter's life, and to create that role model, you know, so when the mom is released, she has something different to look at.
Absolutely.
So we have great outcomes for that program. We've just been invited into the men's prison to do the same work with dads and daughters. It's a very small fledgling group, but those gentlemen who are doing it are committed and want to make a difference in their daughter's lives and want to stop that cycle of incarceration, which is so prevalent in families in Southern Arizona.
Yeah. Debbie, you were a Girl Scout yourself.
I was.
Did it ever dawn on you that your career path through not-for-profit, through marketing, leadership roles, and so on, would end up here now, Chief Operating Officer and CEO?
No. No, I always knew I wanted to my goal. I'm you know, I set a goal for myself. I knew I wanted to lead a nonprofit organization that truly made a difference. And you know, I've been really blessed with opportunities to start things and to work with really dynamic people. And of course, Bobby is so committed, my husband, to the community. But I didn't know that it would be Girl Scouting. You know, I thought, you know, substance abuse, mental health, you know, things that are, you know, just more dramatic. But then when you get into this movement and you see the reach of, you know, I always say to people, you know, I reach girls from the foothills to the border and everywhere in between. And we, you know, we have to have a movement that speaks to that entire spectrum of girls and their families and the women in their lives. So in that way, it's so challenging and so rewarding.
Well, and also when you know that the role of girls and the power of giving them this beyond the classroom education, mm-hmm. real life skills that they then can carry as they establish their own course for their life, whether it indeed to become a mother, then and you know, marshal a family or their own professional pursuits or both,
mm-hmm.
that there is no finer ripple effect. I mean, that's what we're really talking about, is the ripple
Absolutely.
Effect.
And that women are the center of a community, you know, be it a family, especially in our rich Latina family model, you know, women are so core, but leadership is in core. So how do we, you know, how can we work within communities to bring out that leader, that inner leader in all women and girls?
You look at the pace of change. I mentioned here at the onset, the Girl Scouts of America in 2012 celebrated 100 years. But I bet you if someone would draw a timeline of the significant things that have shifted, that you'd see a radical amount of them that have happened within the last 10 to 15 mm-hmm. years. And so my question for you would be, so what's coming next? What are you preparing for next?
Well, in the movement where you talk about to get her there mm-hmm. and looking at gender equity and that, you know, what can we do to create that sense that that girls and boys have the same experiences, have the same opportunities from a young age and can build that equitably up. You know, you look at our legislative system and there are more women, but fewer women than men. And you look at other leadership roles where, you know, in the nonprofit world, which is a huge business sector in our community, there are a lot of women leaders, but in corporate America, not so many. You know, in STEM, which is critical to Girl Scouts,
that's science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
And really the focal point of our work here in Tucson, a lot of it is around that, especially with the resources of the university and our corporate partners. But we want to build that gender equity, and we don't want to do it in a way that, you know, people would say, oh, they're just feminists or
you lose, we win.
Yeah, exactly. You want, and that's why the word equity is critical in that statement, that it isn't anything. You know, we care just as much about boys as girls. We wish boys had the same kind of movement that we have, and that had that far-reaching impact. The Boy Scouts are a great organization, but they don't, you know, they reach a very few number of boys.
I know one of the other programs that I recall really touched my heart when I watched your 100th anniversary video was the one connected with the fire training. Camp Fury, of all things.
Wow.
Tell us about that.
Camp Fury was the brainchild of Laura Baker, who is a Tucson Fire Department chief, and Cheryl Horvath, who is the Northwest Fire District chief. And there just aren't a lot of women in firefighting. And so they wanted to do something to create a momentum and to, you know, feed that pipeline. And so they created Camp Fury for girls who are 14 and older. And this has been just a remarkable experience, because if you look at the pool, we about 20 to 25 girls go through Camp Fury every summer for the last three summers. And of those 75 girls, I think it's 9 or 10 are on their way to being professional firefighters. Mm-hmm. And so you look at that success rate, and it's pretty amazing.
And I even suspect that the other 61 or 62 have been influenced in a way, whether it be to take on careers or opportunities that really stretch themselves, mm-hmm. that take courage, that take physical well-being as well as mental acumen. So.
Right. And you think of the girls, Sarah, who are in the group. They come from all walks of life. Yeah. They come from group homes. They come from our detention programs. They come from the foothills, every school, and they come together and they really bond as a group of women and a group of firefighters. One of our girls, Erica Yee, who was in last year's Camp Fury, she used those skills to save her bandmate's life.
Yeah.
You know, he was dying. She used compression CPR and saved his life, you know, and asked why at that moment. She said, oh, I learned it in Girl Scouts. I went to Camp Fury. Like, duh. You know, of course.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? And that's that touching. And, you know, youth, the resiliency of youth. You know, we said this in an earlier segment on the show today, is you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know it. So you go forward, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
exactly.
you try and explore.
And that's what we want to create and sustain, that curiosity in kids, where, you know, we know that we have a lot of, we face a lot of challenges with youth in sustaining curiosity in, you know, healthy ways. So
gender equity and equity specifically mm-hmm. for girls to rise to that occasion. Do you feel that the kind of girls you're attracting these days is different from what you had before?
In terms
of their motivations, their desires, or how the process unfolds, is it different?
I think, well, there's a basic core of the kinds of girls that are, who find themselves in Girl Scouts, and those generally are girls who are want to get their hands in a lot of different things.
Try things out, yeah.
But also have that shyness about them, that they need a sisterhood to help move them forward. I think that through our work and the way we've designed it, we reach a very different element of girls than has been reached in the past. But I think that what's great about Girl Scouting is that, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, building life skills and that self-reliance and resilience, and that you do it and you see your accomplishments in Girl Scouts. You see your accomplishments on a soccer team as well. But it's just different. You know, you have something in your back pocket that you can pull out and use as a life skill, you know, something tangible.
I think the other side too from Girl Scouts, of course, I was a Girl Scout earlier in a different generation, we'll say, is the fact that there's choice involved, and that mm-hmm. you needed to be mindful of where you're going to put your energies, and you made decisions on whether it be which seminars you took or which merit badges you would pursue. But you could do a whole broad cross section. I'm sure I haven't looked in the manual for years, but I bet you the choices of badges this day and age far outstrips what it was back in my day.
Yes, but also keeping that legacy, those core legacy badges that we all did. You did them, I did them, my mother did them. You know, and that's what, you know, that's what's important. You know, that's what creates the sustainability of the organization. And then a core set of common values for the women who are involved in the movement. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important, because we, you know, we have this promise and law that we live by, and our badge work and our skill sets are built around that.
Yeah. The makeup of your volunteers, I think the other thing that we realize in this day and age, it isn't just women.
No. You know,
you have a lot of fathers and men that recognize this movement, as you call it.
Yeah, and we do call it a movement, and I know that puts some people off. What does that mean? What are you doing? But really, it's because we're constantly evolving, and we have to, because of who we're serving, girls, and they're constantly evolving. I have an interesting story about a gentleman in Tucson. His name is Martin Landau, and he is the consummate Girl Scout dad, man enough to be a Girl Scout. And he just recently came to me and said, you know what, Debbie, we have to do something for men to get involved in their daughters' lives. And he started a men's group of Girl Scout dads who volunteer and support their daughters in their Girl Scout journey. You know, dads go and watch soccer matches, but, you know, they never really thought of, you know, sitting, getting their hands dirty, you know, going to Habitat and building a house with their daughters. It just wasn't in their reality. But now with gentlemen like Martin, it truly is.
I love that line you said, man enough to be a Girl Scout.
You're man enough. That's
man
right.
Enough to be a girl. In fact, I recall once with traveling with a friend of mine, and we had his two young kids, daughter and son. They were probably 3 and 6, or 3 and 5, let's say. And we stopped at the gas station. He right away said, "Come on, Nick, let's get out, and I'll help you pump the, and I'll show you how to pump gas." And so we got back in the car, and he and I are professional colleagues. And I said, "So tell me something. Does Whitney get to do it next time?" And he was shocked. He caught himself up short and said, mm-hmm. "Oh my goodness, what did I just do?" And I said, yeah, and that's part of this consciousness, and that's why the movement idea is so relevant, to remind us that all of us come across with our own biases, whether, mm-hmm. you know, well, I'll do it against my daughter versus my son, you know, without realizing it.
It is, and that's funny. That was my first job. I worked at a gas station. but it is, you know, and it gets to, you know, it gets back to that core of how do we present boys and girls with the same opportunities to mm-hmm. succeed and the same skill sets.
And I would say the same way that my son, I look at my three young brothers, and they're all fabulous cooks.
Yeah, not me.
And part of it is because my mother, who's a wonderful cook, but she just got tired of doing it. So it was a matter of survival at that point in time. But yes, and so mm-hmm. that gender equity and opportunity and values and respect and regard was so mm-hmm. important.
Absolutely.
No, that's right.
Absolutely.
The, of course, the Girl Scouts here, we mentioned the contributions you've made as a leader in improving the facilities and the properties and finding sources of funding. Of course, you do maintain a day camp here in Tucson.
Right. We have our Hacienda camp, which is out on Sabino Canyon. We have about 17 acres there. We've been innovative in that a charter school uses it during the school day because, of course, girls are in school. So that's a great property. It has a pool and, thanks to some strong donors, it has, overnight stay facilities, which is really important to, Native American families and Hispanic families because they're not comfortable with this idea of camping. Mm-hmm. Because we also have our camp on the mountain on Mount Lemon with Spring Pines, which again is another 20 acres and houses about 135 girls.
Yeah. And so that idea, like you say, to appeal to a variety of mm-hmm. nationalities and cultures and
yeah.
things. And also just, you know, the age of the girls too. And so you host summer programs there as well.
Right.
In both locations.
And I don't know, Zara, if our time is winding down, but I promised our girls that I would make one last push for them for our Troop to Troop program.
Tell us about
and
that.
Troop to Troop is our gift of caring for our cookie program. So as you've all seen, probably lots and lots of girls knocking on your doors or at the grocery store selling cookies. Well, there's another way to support cookies, which is really critical, and that is that girls sell cookies and then we ship them to Operation Gratitude, which is part of support the troop programs, and then the cookies go globally to troops everywhere we have troops, be it in Afghanistan or North Korea, wherever there are soldiers, then that's where we send the cookies. And so for our last push for cookies, because that is 70% of how we sustain our organization, we're asking people to buy cookies for the troops. So no more calories for you.
That's right, but or pick up three boxes for your one box.
Yes, exactly.
Send it off to our troops.
You know, because there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of the.
And how long will that go for now?
Our cookie program ends the first weekend, the last Sunday, or the first Sunday in March.
In March, so a couple more weeks to
yes.
bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Debbie, again, you're absolutely hair on fire, I'll say, excited about continuing in your role as the Girl Scouts. How do you think, particularly being CEO, has helped further shape your leadership and changed you?
Wow, that's a big question.
Yeah.
I think that what it's done for me is it's created this sense of really having a vision and looking at the outcome for our community and how do we tactically get there,
mm-hmm.
you know, so and how can women and girls play that part in where we want our community to go. I think that, you know, working with young girls and teaching them strategy,
yeah.
you know, or just talking strategy with them is probably something that it excites me more than anything else because they are our creative thinkers.
And also they don't have the baggage of saying we can't do it.
Or we've done it that way before.
Or exactly. And in fact, if you ever slide into that, I'm sure they're the first one to say, mm-hmm. Mrs. Rich, I don't think so.
No, yeah, we're not doing that.
Well, Debbie, thank you so very much for contributing time for us. For interested listeners, you can go and visit Girls Scouts, SOAZ, so Girl Scouts Southern Arizona.org. Do be mindful, as she said, that we've got our young ladies out there selling cookies at this point in time of the year, but also check out their site and other ways that you could volunteer, donate gifts in kind to support the cause of the Girl Scouts.
Absolutely.
Thank
We'd
you
appreciate
so very
it.
Much. Very
Thank
good.
You.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.